This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, filling in for Terry Gross. Richard Jenkins has been acting in film and on television for 35 years, mostly in supporting roles. But when he finally got a leading role in a feature film, he made the most of it. He's earned an Oscar nomination for Best Actor for the independent film The Visitor. Jenkins' profile has risen since 2004, when he co-starred in the HBO series 6 Feet Under. Since then, he appeared in the Coen brothers' comedy Burn After Reading, and he played John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell's father in Step Brothers. Terry spoke to Jenkins in December. In The Visitor, Jenkins plays Walter Vail, a lonely and inhibited widower who teaches at a New England college but has kept his Manhattan apartment. When a conference brings him to New York, he finds two strangers living in his apartment, a Syrian man and an African woman, both in the U.S. illegally. Walter becomes friends with them and begins to overcome some of his inhibitions. Eventually, Tarek is detained in a center for illegal aliens, and Walter ends up having dinner with Tarek's mother, Mona, who's come from the Midwest to help her son.
Mona, I'm taking a leave of absence for the rest of the semester.
Really? Why?
Well, I thought I might spend some more time in New York.
Walter, you don't have to do this. You're busy.
I want to.
But you have to be in Connecticut. You have your teaching, your book.
No, it's fine, really.
This is not your problem, Walter. It's okay that you're busy.
I'm not busy. Not at all. The truth is, I haven't done any real work in a very long time.
You just presented your paper at the conference.
No, I didn't even write it. I just read it. I've been teaching the same course for 20 years, and it doesn't mean anything to me. None of it does. I pretend that I'm busy, that I'm working, that I'm writing. I'm not doing anything. I'm sorry.
Richard Jenkins, welcome to Fresh Air, and congratulations on your terrific performance in The Visitor. During a lot of the movie, you're so inhibited that you're not physically expressing yourself. You're always like restraining yourself physically, and you're very quiet, so you're not verbally expressing yourself much either. And a lot of what happens registers on your face, and we could just see that you're holding things in. And I'm just kind of interested about the work that you have to do as an actor to play somebody who's trying to reveal so little, and in doing so reveals a lot.
Yeah, it's... I said, I don't know if I would have been able to do this 10 years ago. I don't know if I trusted myself enough as an actor to let the camera just let it happen. Just live your life on screen and trust that an audience will understand what it is you're going through and who you are and all of those things. It's tempting to explain what you do, and it's a bad temptation. So it was a real test to see if I could just let it happen.
I'm going to really go out on a limb here, mm-hmm. and say that I bet you're a little inhibited yourself. How right is that?
Is that obvious? I am. Yes, I am. And I understand it. I understand someone who is a little stuck. I think we all get that in our lives, not to the degree of Walter Vail, maybe, but I need to be. In fact, my wife always says, "Let's do this," and my first answer is, "Oh God!" Yeah. And then when I do it, whatever it is, wherever we go, wherever we travel, I think, "God, this is why didn't I do this earlier?" So you're right, I am a little inhibited and a little stuck in my ways, and need to be shaken up once in a while.
I want to play some of the opening scene of The Visitor. This is a wonderful scene with the actress Marion Seldes. And she's come to your house as the piano teacher. She's a piano teacher, a classical piano teacher. You're kind of old school, very proper. And at the piano lesson, and you're learning as an adult. So, like, you're just getting started on piano. And she's telling you things like, keep your fingers rounded, you know, because that way the train can go through the tunnel of your fingers. She said, that's what I tell all my kids who I'm teaching. And you just stare at her because, like, you're not a child. Even though you're just learning, you're not a child. You're an adult who's learning. And it's always so challenging when an adult tries to learn something new. So after this, like, very uncomfortable lesson, she goes to the door and you're inside the you're both standing outside the door, and you have this conversation as she's leaving.
Next Tuesday, then, same time?
No. I don't think I'm going to continue with our lessons.
Oh, no. You're giving up?
No.
Oh. Okay. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Miss Vale? May I ask, how many teachers have you had before me?
Four.
Well, for what it's worth, learning an instrument at your age is difficult, especially if you don't possess a natural gift for it. I'm not saying this to be mean, but if you do decide to give up, I'd really like to buy your piano.
Okay.
Ouch. What? Richard Jenkins and Marion Seldes in the opening scene of The Visitor. I remember not long ago putting on the TV and there was a movie on and I was thinking, wait a minute, that's Richard Jenkins.
Yeah.
And it was
I do that sometimes.
Really?
I watch yeah. I go, okay, you know, this movie looks familiar. And then, oh, God, there I'm in it.
I remember you were, I don't remember what the movie is. I just remember thinking, wow, you were really young in it. It was a long time ago.
Some people say, I saw that movie and you had a hairpiece. And that was not a hairpiece. that was me.
what are some of the roles you were in that we didn't notice you in? Do you know what I mean? Now we realize, oh, that's Richard Jenkins, but we didn't realize it then.
I don't know. Some of the early films, I guess. Maybe some of the later ones, too. I see I played the psychiatrist in Something About Mary. I had one scene in that. Silverado, my first movie.
That was a Western.
I said, howdy. And then 7 weeks later, they shot me. It was the kind of I had two scenes in that. Actually, it was my first film, and I was on the lobby card in the theaters. It was me face down in the street.
Well, no one's going to recognize you that way.
No. I played Kelly. I was a cover set, and Larry Kasdan is a wonderful director and wonderful man, and it was really my first studio movie. And I literally had two scenes where I said howdy, and then they shot me, and I was around. I couldn't leave because a cover set means that if there's bad weather, they'll shoot your scene indoors. And I was, I just stayed around it, and I stayed in the hotel and didn't know anybody because everybody else was out making the movie. People would say, "Who are you? Are you?" I am in the movie. Yeah, I'm in the movie. But that was my first. Didn't even know you got per diem.
The Visitor is a drama, but you're also known for your comedies like Step Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just hear a scene from it. In Step Brothers, you and Mary Steenburgen play divorcees. You're not divorced from each other. You're each divorced from somebody else. But you each fall in love and decide to get married and move in together. You each have an adult son, and each of those adult sons are kind of like big babies. Like they're basically like overgrown teenagers. They still live at home. They don't have jobs. They're really cranky. And so the boys, played by John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell, have to share a bedroom now that you've moved in with Mary Steenburgen. And they don't like each other. They don't get along. And they've just had a really big fight on the lawn. And you're really angry with them. They're sitting in front of the TV, watching TV, when you walk in intending to punish them. And here's the scene.
Oh, such power. It's raw power.
Dad, what are you doing? It's Shark Week.
Okay, here's the deal.
You have 1 month to find jobs or you're out in your asses. I will arrange interviews for Monday and you will go.
Dad, why are you talking to me like this? I'm your son.
I'm not buying that crap anymore.
You yelled rape at the top of your lungs.
Mom, I honestly thought I was going to be raped for a second. He had the craziest look in his eyes. And at one point he said, let's get it on.
That was about the fighting. See? I'm so not a raper.
All right, that's it.
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week.
What?
We are so serious, guys.
You're high. Are you out of your minds?
Goes in Robert's wall safe. And it's going to stay there.
No.
Okay.
This house is a prison.
My guest, Richard Jenkins, in a scene from Step Brothers. Now, I read that you and your co-star in this movie, John C. Reilly, go way back. That you knew John C. Reilly when he was four, and what, you drove a truck for his father or something?
I did, yeah. John's from Chicago, and I'm from Illinois. And we were, and this is at the end of the shoot of Step Brothers. I said, I was asking him about his family, and he said that his father had died fairly young. And he said, you know, not a lot of my friends knew my dad. I think his wife, he said, had met him once. And I said, well, what did he do? He said, well, he was the vice president of a laundry in Chicago. I said, oh, because my father-in-law worked for Union Linen in Chicago. And he said, my dad was vice president of Union Linen. And then I said, well, your dad was John Reilly. I worked for your dad. I drove a truck in the summers for vacationing drivers. And he was my boss. And one weekend, my father-in-law had a cottage on a lake on the Illinois-Wisconsin line, and John Reilly brought his boat up to the lake and his whole family. And John was there, and he was four. And I helped put the boat in the water and, you know, spent the weekend with him. Amazing.
So you knew John C. Reilly when he was four, but you had no idea that was John C. Reilly until the end of the shoot.
I said that I wondered what was – I could never understand what that little kid was tugging on my pant leg, and he said, someday I'm going to be making a lot more money than you. But now I know.
How did you get cast in Step Brothers? It obviously wasn't your connection with John C. Reilly because he didn't know you had a connection yet.
Well, I think it was Will Ferrell had something to do with it. And I went out to L.A. and did a table read of the movie. They do it with an audience. It's really interesting. They do it like a play. And then they said, why don't you come do this? So I said, going to be great. And I just had so much, too much fun probably, but it was really a ball.
Did you have to do any improv in it?
Yeah, it's such, you hang on is what you do. Yeah, but those two guys are, they're incredible. I mean, they're just incredible. They always had an answer, no matter what you said. There was a scene where once I said they were talking about how wonderful their music was. And I said, I put, you know, an implant in a young girl. She could hear for the first time today. And, you know, you're telling me this is what you're doing is great. And I think John said, oh, come on, Dad. Everybody can hear. You know, it's like no matter what you said, they had an answer for everything.
The role where I think I finally realized, oh, this is Richard Jenkins. Well, first of all, I'm flirting with Disaster, but that was like in the 90s, and I liked you a lot in that, but I didn't quite follow through on it. You know what I mean? I didn't recognize, okay, that's Richard Jenkins. But,
you disappoint me.
Yes.
Not really. That's very disappointing to hear that you didn't follow through. It's one thing to like me, but you have to follow through.
I have to follow through. but in 6 Feet Under, that's when it really registered because, you know, it's a recurring role. And
yeah, that's
so,
because I wouldn't go away.
That's right. Like you die in 6 Feet Under, for anyone who hasn't seen this HBO series, was a series about a family that runs a funeral home. And you play the father and husband in the family, and you're killed off in the first episode.
You're 5 minutes, I think.
Yeah, you're the mortician, but you're in the car, you're fidgeting, you're lighting with a cigarette, you're distracted, and a bus rams into you, and that's the end of you. But you reappear not only later in that episode in A Ghostly Apparition, but you keep reappearing through the series as a ghostly apparition, and in the dreams of your family, and you talk with your sons. So let me just play a scene from that opening episode. So this is your first like ghostly appearance. It's in the morgue. Your son Nate, played by Peter Krause, has come to the morgue to officially ID your body, and the ghost of you is standing next to your corpse, talking to your son. Here's the scene.
Well, well. The prodigal returns. This is what you've been running away from your whole life, buddy boy. Scared the crap out of you when you were growing up, didn't it? And you thought you'd escape. Well, guess what? Oh, nobody escapes.
And the escape stuff is a reference in part to death, but also to the fact that your son has kind of moved away and he's just kind of come back. When you got this part, I think you were supposed to just like be killed off in the first episode and that was that. How did it end up being a recurring ghostly role?
Well, you're right. I was just supposed to do the pilot. But Alan Ball said, you know,
he's the creator of the series.
He's the creator of the series. And he said, when your father dies, you don't stop thinking about him. So would you come back and do some more episodes? And I said, I'd love to, because I read the pilot, and I thought it was brilliant.
Sometimes I really don't like ghostly roles, and other times I really love them. Like, I grew up with the series Topper on television. Yeah. I don't know if you watched that.
I grew up with it, too.
Did you? I used to love that show, and it's about two people who die in a skiing accident and return as ghosts and haunt their friend. Did you realize that this 6 Feet Under was a turning point in my appreciation of you? Was it a turning point in your career?
Yes, it was. I think, like you, people finally put a name to the face, and it was amazing. I've been thinking about this, and I've talked about it before, but I never knew who this character was. I never knew what this guy's life was like, because all the clues that you have for a character are on the page when you read the script. That's where it is, and he, depending on who thought about him, he changed. It was according to one's perception of him,
right?
And if I was talking to my daughter, it was different than I was talking to David, or if I was talking to Nate, it was just totally different. And sometimes I was really kind to them. Sometimes I was brutal with them. You just never knew what he was really like, which I loved. I thought that was really fascinating, but it was difficult.
As you get better known, is it changing your sense of yourself to have more and more people recognize you?
No. I've been doing it long enough. So, I mean, I've been... It's just strange. I was at a funeral one time, and a woman tapped me on the shoulder and asked if are they filming this?
What?
Because of six Feet Under.
Oh gosh.
No, it hasn't changed. I'm 61, so what? But it is nice. I have to say, it is nice. I mean, we don't act in a vacuum, and it's not finished until people see it, and to have people respond positively to what you do as an actor, that's kind of why you do it.
Richard Jenkins, it's been a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Richard Jenkins is up for an Academy Award next weekend for his leading role in the film The Visitor. He spoke with Terry in December.